Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY26 results conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshal Ghanshyani from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY26 conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited. From the management team, we have Mr. Pandurang Dandavade, Chairman, Mr. Tanvi Yorty, Managing Director, Mr. Prashant Ganekar, VP, Finance and Accounts. Now, I hand over the call to Ms. Tanvi Yorty for opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome, everyone, for today's conference call for Q2 FY26 of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited. I take the opportunity to thank all participants, investors, analysts, and management team of our company. Our company was established in 2003, and it is headquartered in Navi Mumbai. Dhruv Consultancy Services is among India's leading infrastructure consultancy companies, offering end-to-end solutions across design and engineering, construction supervision, and project management. Our core services include preparation of detailed project reports, feasibility studies, carrying out supervision, construction supervision, and operation maintenance supervision. Along with that, we also provide technical and structural audit services. Over the past two decades, we have successfully completed more than 250 projects for prestigious clients, including the Ministry of Road Transport and Highways, MoRTH, National Highway Authority of India, NHAI, CIDCO, JNPT, MMRDA, MSRDC, and many more. Our team of over 400 professionals, out of which more than 75% are qualified engineers, forms the core of our intellectual capital, enabling us to deliver engineering excellence, operational precision, and sustainable solutions across highways, bridges, ports, and urban infrastructure. Since our listing on the NSE and BSE main board, we have remained focused on strengthening our domain expertise and diversifying into new infrastructure segments, both domestically and internationally. During Q2 FY26, we achieved several important milestones that strengthened our foundation for long-term growth. We were empaneled as an ATCC Class 1 consultant by the Public Works Department for traffic census and classification-related consultancy services. This empanelment is valid for 3 years, enhances our eligibility to participate in larger and more complex infrastructure tenders. Later, we were also empaneled under the A category by MSIDC for the preparation of DPR for road projects valued at over 36,000 crores. This empanelment complements our existing PMC assignment for 11 packages of MSIDC, expanding our participation in the state's infrastructure development program. Further, in October 2025, we made a strategic entry into the aviation sector through an appointment by MADC, that is the Maharashtra Airport Development Company Limited, for consultancy services on the construction of linked taxiways in Mihan-Nagpur, which is valued at 1.63 crores and spread over 20 months. This milestone diversifies our sectoral presence beyond bridges and highways into airport infrastructure. In the same month, we were also empaneled by the Odisha Bridge and Construction Corporation Limited as a consulting agency for supervision of roads and bridges for a period up to 3 financial years, that is, up to March 2028, expanding our geographical reach in Eastern India. These developments collectively enhance our eligibility profile, geographic reach, and sectoral diversity, reinforcing our reputation as a dependable partner for public infrastructure projects across India. Now, let me move on to our financial performance. For Q2 FY26, our consolidated revenue stood at 19.40 crores, reflecting steady business momentum. EBITDA came in at 2.13 crores, with margins at 10.95%, demonstrating disciplined cost management. Net profit for the quarter was 1.01 crores, translating to a PAT margin of 5.19%. This performance underscores the company's focus on execution excellence, stronger project mix, and strategic diversification across new clients and regions. For half-yearly FY 2026, our consolidated revenue stood at 40.80 crores, supported by stable execution across key projects. EBITDA for the period was 5.70 crore, with a healthy EBITDA margin of 13.98%. Net profit for H1 reached 2.60 crore, delivering a PAT margin of 6.38%. The half-yearly performance demonstrates that the company's strengthening fundamentals, efficient project delivery, and continued expansion across clients and regions. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the opportunities in India's infrastructure ecosystem, supported by sustained government investments in highways, bridges, railways, and airport connectivity. Our strategy is centered on expanding sectoral expertise, enhancing digital integration in project management, and scaling operations across emerging markets. With strong and a growing project pipeline and a disciplined approach to execution, we are well positioned to sustain our growth momentum in second half of FY 2026. The recent additions to our portfolio, particularly in the aviation sector and the state infrastructure, will serve as a key growth enablers in the coming quarter. In closing, I would like to express my gratitude to our shareholders, clients, partners, and employees for their continued support and confidence. We remain committed to delivering engineering excellence, sustainable growth, and long-term value creation. Thank you.
Are we good to open the floor for Q&A?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Vinod Shah from VX Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, yes, you're audible.
Yeah. So EBITDA margins in H1 were around 14%. So are these margins sustainable, considering the mix of our new consultancy verticals?
Can you repeat? Your voice is a bit low.
Just give me a second. Is it better now?
Yes, quite better. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So our EBITDA margins were around 14% in H1.
Yes.
So is this the margin that those are sustainable in going forward, like, considering we are venturing into the new consultancy vertical?
Yes. So, answering your question, the EBITDA margin has reduced, but it's not a big significant reduction. It is marginally less. And, as has been the trend now last year due to elections and, this year also, the order book flow is a bit slow, which is now picking up for the month of October. So Q3 and Q4 will definitely take it up, and there is not a much drop in the EBITDA margin as such. Now, with the new orders coming in the new sector as well, the reason of entering into new sectors and new geographies is because we want an increase in EBITDA margin. So our focus has now shifted into new entering into new sectors and new clients where we were only dependent on the highway sector.
Okay. And what is the current order book and execution timeline on those approx?
Yeah. So our current order book is close to 200 crore unexecuted, and this is to be executed in a period of 2.5 years, 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay, and what's the bid pipeline?
It depends on the type of project. If it's a DPR project, so bid pipeline, sorry. Bid pipeline is around 4 to 6 months.
No, I'm asking about value, like how much,
Okay, how much tenders are bidded?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Around 250 crore of tenders are bidded. for which results are awaited.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And like with the recent tie-ups that we have done, so what kind of revenue growth and profitability we can expect in, let's just say, next 2 to 3 years?
So I am not allowed to comment on the growth factor as per SEBI LODR guidelines, but definitely our Q3 and Q4 will be better than Q1 and Q2.
Okay, okay. And we have recently expanded into the Eastern India.
Yes.
So is there any plan like in North India and South India?
We are already having a strong presence in North and South India. East India, we had a few projects. One or two projects. Now we are expanding to the states as well. We were only doing it with NHAI and ministry, that is the central government. Now with states also coming up with larger infrastructure projects. In fact, the state government projects are very high in ticket size, 25 CR plus. That is why, and with good EBITDA margins, of course. So our focus is now shift a little bit diverted from central government, which has gone in auto mode, and we are definitely receiving projects from NHAI and MORTH as well. But in addition to that, in order to improve our EBITDA margin, we are now targeting state infrastructure projects, not just in Maharashtra, but all over the country.
Okay, and like we are bidding into the aviation consultancy segment. So,
yes.
What are the revenue expectations from there, like in next 1 to 2 years, like what will be the...
it depends on the type of work also. If it's a full airport project of like we have bid it for over 7 airport projects right now, out of that one we have received for Mihan in MADC Nagpur. The other projects that we have bidded, they are not for only the taxiway or the runway like it is for Nagpur. It is for the entire airport expansion. So we can expect a ticket size of 10 to 15 crores from it.
Okay. That's great.
Yes.
That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gulip Singh from Sounder Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. So what is the reason for the fall in revenues by about 40%? Hello, I'm audible?
Yes, you're audible. A little bit disturbance.
Okay, so what is the reason for fall in revenues in Q2 by 40% and also fall in EBITDA margins if we compare the year on years?
Yes. So it is just a spillover of last year due to the state and the center government elections. Secondly, in the last 6 months, due to a debarment order from NHAI, we couldn't get any new projects that were there. But now, since 4th July 2025, our projects close to 250 crores have been bidded. And since October month, our revenues have started to build up. So the company has not, the EBITDA margins or the revenue have not gone down very badly as such, not very substantial, but very marginally. And it will, the Q3 and Q4 will take care of it.
So what was the reason for debarment by NHAI and are we allowed to bid orders now?
Yes. So it was published on the BSE website as well that there is a stay order on it and the case has been adjourned. So right now we are open to bid any tenders across the entire country. The reason for the debarment was that our JV partner, Global Infra Solutions, it was given back-to-back, the project was given on a joint venture back-to-back basis to him, and Dhruv had no role to play in that particular project. And due to some approvals given, which were rectified also in the form of supplementary agreement, NHAI processed a debarment, but there was no loss faced to NHAI due to the errors made at site and which were rectified. Hence, the court issued a stay order on the debarment. And now we are open to bidding, and recently we have been awarded an 8.73 crore project in the state of Karnataka as well by NHAI. And we are being held technically responsive also, and our bids are also being opened.
Got it. So, is the case just temporarily closed? I mean, we have COS, or is it permanently closed? Because the requirement was for 2 years. So I just would like to understand that, do we have any risk of serving the entire 2 years requirement?
So NHAI is right now not pursuing the case because they understood that it has been done. It was not fair with us as well. We being a listed company, and till date our record has been very clear. And in fact, our projects finished before timeline as well. A lot of contractors have taken bonuses for early completion, and not even one single show cause notice has ever been received against the company. So NHAI is not pursuing the case as such. That is why the case is adjourned. There have been no submissions from NHAI side on the case.
All right, got it. So if you look at the top line in H1, so
yes,
it has been much lower if we compare it year on year. So I would like to understand, would we be able to maintain, I mean, achieve the 100 crore revenue that we achieved in the previous financial year?
There will definitely be improvement in Q3 and Q4 because now the orders have started flowing in since Q3. Since October, if you can see, there have been a lot of empanelments, a lot of government projects coming up. In fact, we have bidded for major projects in CIDCO as well for the Navi Mumbai Airport connectivity. And they are much larger in ticket size, much improvement in EBITDA. So in fact, now the company is more focused on sectoral expansion and client expansion as well. So that the results have also started to come out. And with new orders flowing in, there will be an improvement in order book also, and we'll be back to our original order book number that was there earlier. So we are expecting a good jump in our order book in Q3 itself.
Got it. So what percentage of current order book is from NHAI?
Almost 90%. And that has the current order book, the department has no effect on the current order book.
All right. So, I mean, it's just that we cannot bid for any new projects, but in case the department...
Yeah, it was only for a period of 2 or 3 months. From 4th July 2025, we have again started bidding for NHAI and MORP itself.
So what is the reason for a debtor days increasing from around 55 to 60 during FY22 to around 100 days currently? Is there a change in client, our major clients, or what is the main reason?
No change in major clients as such. Yes, MSIDC have been added, but the debtor days increase has been due to lower certification of work. There have been few projects where certain land acquisition or certain project clearances are pending, due to which marginally it has been lower due to lower certification of our bills. But I think with land acquisition issues also coming up and NHAI coming up with newer policies, this will also be sorted out. And now that we will no longer be dependent on only MORT or only NHAI, definitely the debtor days will also see improvement.
All right, got it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Agarwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon. Thank you for letting me speak.
Yes.
So, my first question is, what is the management's long-term plan? Does the company intend to evolve into multi-sector infra consultant like any AECOM or Stantec?
Yes. So, yes, you can consider AECOM to be a role model kind of a company in infrastructure. We are definitely, till now, we have expanded into the highway sector and we have one of the top 5 consultants in India. In the last 3 or 4 months, you all have seen that there has been an increase in the clients as well as an increase in the sectors. our focus is now equally on the metros, the railways, the airports and urban infrastructure, not just in India but globally. Last year we were awarded with a project in Mozambique, and we now have a presence in Mozambique, and with our UK subsidiary from London, we are bidding a lot of AFDB, ADB and World Bank assignments all over Africa, Southeast Asia. In addition to that, we are also increasing our client base, not just to the central government sector, but state governments as well, where the ticket size are much larger. Like we did with the Ganga Expressway project, which is valued at 20 crores. With UPEDA, which is a state government organization, and MSIDC, 22 crore project, which is again a state government organization. So with our focus on sectoral expansion and geographical expansion, definitely we plan to become a multinational as well as a multi-sectoral company.
Okay. So there must be some plan to diversify into railways, metros, like renewable energy.
We have already diversified. Railways, we are currently doing one project in Jharkhand, one in Kota, Rajasthan, and one in Tamil Nadu, that is in Salem region. So three projects are currently ongoing in the railway sector. As far as metro is concerned, with MMRDA, Line 1, Line 5, Line 7 and Line 3A, all these four projects we have given our PMC services. For the metro sector in Mumbai, and we are also presently bidding for large metro projects under CIDCO, then large airport projects as well for the Navi Mumbai airport connectivity and the Cochin airport and other tier 2, tier 3 airport coming up. As we have heard in the union budget, 227 new airports are being constructed all over India, and there is very less competition there, hence airport sector has been identified, and we are bidding it with great joint ventures also in place.
Okay. And how has the revenue contribution evolved between DPR, PMC, supervision and
Between supervision, O&M would be around 40% of our revenue. Then 40% would be construction supervision and balance 20% for DPR.
Okay. And what's the revenue currently coming from long duration PMC projects versus short duration DPR contracts?
Most of it is coming from PMC because operation and maintenance or construction forms a PMC project only. So that is why 80% of our revenue comes from PMC itself.
Okay, so the rest
and it is good for cash flow management as well. It is good for cash flow management as we receive payment on a monthly basis.
Okay, right. Yeah. Are there any large size multi-year consultancy mandates under a negotiation that could, you know, materially alter the revenue profiles?
Can you tell your question again?
Are there any large size multi-year consultancy mandates under negotiations, so that would materially alter the revenue profile, right?
So yeah, all the assignments are for a longer tenure. For PMC, it is a 3-year construction plus a 3-year defect liability period. Maintenance also are 5 years project, and DPR, we deliver our service in 1 year itself, but the project keeps on expanding as new requirements come up with the client, and for those we receive variations as well.
Okay, so that's it from my side currently. I will get back into the queue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chandresh Singh from Trident Asset Management. Please go ahead. Mr. Chandresh, you may proceed with your question.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, Dhruv recently entered the global markets via Mozambique. So
yes,
what is the strategy for scaling international assignments, and which regions are being targeted?
Yeah, so presently I would like to give you a list that in Mozambique we are already present with a branch office present in Mozambique. Secondly, we are currently under negotiation in Ghana. Along with that, we are bidding, we have been shortlisted in a few projects in Gambia, that's again in Africa. Then Cambodia, also we have been shortlisted. There is Zambia and Tanzania. So these are the currently projects where projects are being talked about, and we have been shortlisted. And we are hopeful that from this Q3 onwards, we'll bring in more projects from the international sector.
Okay. My second question is, how does the company intend to build a sustainable international revenue stream through partnerships, JVs, or local offices?
So we have a strong business development team who has a good network in Africa. And on a day-to-day basis, meetings are being done with these partners. And the local partners present in Africa do not carry the technical capability of carrying out the works on their own. That is why they need a stronger JV partner to execute work, larger works of World Bank or AFDB, especially in Africa. So they are, in fact, it is, they are more willing to partner with an Indian firm. So we take the local services wherever we need to deploy any local manpower as such, and all the project is being executed by our team itself, wherein we don't need to hire anyone extra, but within our existing manpower itself, this is being taken care of.
Okay. My next question is the company evaluating AI/ML-based solutions or digital twins for design supervision or asset audits?
So we are currently implementing building information modeling, which is just a one notch below version of digital twin. So for digital twin to be implemented, we need BIM modeling first. So our team is currently being trained for BIM modeling, with AI also coming up. AI will be implemented in building information modeling, so faster design checks and faster designs can be there. There can be faster project management efficiency also. So with all this advancements being done, we will be able to take up more number of projects.
And do you all use any digital project management tools and technologies, you know, to reduce cost and enhance efficiency?
Yes. So we have an internal ERP system that is being used for project management that has real-time dashboards present in it. So each project coordinator at our head office actually can get a real-time report from the ERP about what is happening on the site. So that ERP is in place, and through that ERP, project management is being taken care on a real-time basis.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's it from my side. If I have any questions, I'll join back with you.
Sure, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anjana Nandiar from Orient Capital Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, you are audible.
Yeah. So, ma'am, like, my first question is, with multiple empanelments secured in financial year 2026, what is the average conversion cycle from empanelment to receiving work orders?
So, empanelment is not a work order. After empanelment, we are allowed to bid for orders that is coming up. So as and when, so say the empanelment is for a period of 3 years, so for the next 3 years, under that client, we can bid any number of work. So, like, for example, the Odisha Bridge Corporation that we received empanelment. So under that, 25 crore plus ticket size assignments are coming up, and due to that empanelment, we can now bid for larger ticket size projects, which have very good EBITDA as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is no fixed timeline, but as soon as the empanelment happens, even from tomorrow, we can start bidding. It is like that.
Okay. So, like, does being empaneled in multiple states give the company cost advantages or better visibility when bidding for national level projects?
It definitely helps us to reach larger client base and larger geographies also. So because with NHAI, we are present in 25-26 states where we are executing projects. But to have a wider client base and larger ticket size projects, we have taken this step of targeting few state government authorities as well.
Okay. So, like, what is the current engineer-to-project ratio, and how does your consultancy plan to scale manpower for coming tenders?
Yeah. So for DPR projects, we have an in-house DPR team sitting at the head office itself. They are a team of 10 engineers, and they take care of our DPR projects from the head office. As far as PMC is concerned, we have project coordinators under three general managers who take care of the project operations and have a real-time updates about what is going on the project. So along with that, we deploy around 8 key professionals and 20 sub-professional support staff on every site as per the tender requirement. If it's a maintenance project, then this might be less also. So for each project, such number is required to be deployed, whether it is domestic, whether it is international. And we have a strong recruitment team of 7 to 8 individuals who constantly are involved daily in the recruitment and talent acquisition for these particular projects. So till now, we haven't faced any issue with getting new manpower, as well as we itself have a big manpower base of 450. So with our database itself, within our database itself, we keep shifting in our in-house employees. Only if required, then we hire from outside.
Okay. So ma'am, like, my last question would be, like, given expansion into new regions, is the company planning to set up regional offices or project hubs?
There will be no regional offices as such, but there will be project site offices wherever there is a PMC project. Right now there is only one subsidiary that is in UK. As far as India is concerned, we operate from our Mumbai office only.
Okay. Okay. So thank you, ma'am, for answering my questions. That's all from my
Thank you.
side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditi Roy from Patel Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Ma'am, I just want to know how we are improving our execution efficiency and turnaround time if we specifically talk on DPRs, PMC, and supervision assignments.
Yeah, so we are currently, as I said in my previous answer also, we are currently implementing building information modeling. This will help achieve faster designs because building information modeling not just helps us organize our design works, but it implements AI, and through that, not just 2D models, but 3D models of infrastructure projects will also be developed. Right now in Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, and developed countries, not 3D, but 5D models are being developed, five-dimensional. So we have now our team is being trained on 3D modeling, and soon with digital twin implementation and more advancements in the AI field, I think with 5D and 6D modeling should also be there, which will help us take more number of projects and increase the employee performance as well.
Okay, ma'am. Ma'am, what steps are we being taken to ensure the timely deployment of skilled manpower, specifically with the expansion into new states and new infra categories?
So the bid period is around 4 to 5 months. So 4 months before itself, the employee who's going to be deployed on the project gives a written consent, not just to me, but to the client as well. So that person has to join on the project, because at the bidding stage itself, they give a consent. And if in case there is a delay in deployment or so, the client is informed, but in less than 1 month of the project award date or the work order date, our deployment is usually 100%.
Okay, ma'am. and around 75% of workforce being engineers. And what is the company strategy for hiring, retention, and capability building going forward?
So as compared to the industry, we have the lowest retention to the tune of 3 to 4%, lowest attrition, I would say. So with such a low attrition rate, I think we are already ahead of our competitors. So that itself answers it.
And ma'am, so if we talk government related projects forming the bulk of revenue, how we mitigate a delay related or payment cycle risk?
So yes, delays used to happen, but now the delays have significantly reduced, and more than 180 days hardly any debtor goes, because average 120 days we receive our payments. Even though it is delayed, it is a 100% guaranteed payment. Whereas in private sector, we have seen that there are huge delays. But as far as government sector is concerned, our payments, even though there is a delay, we receive the payment properly, whatever has been contracted in the agreement.
And ma'am, my last question, how we are managing a margin pressure in price competitive bidding processes?
So that itself is being taken care with sectoral expansion and geographical expansion. With the geographical expansion, we have now started receiving payments in USD. So dollar has been quite high, and that actually gives us an advantage of receiving good payments in US dollars. So that is one. And client base widening also, now we are with new empanelments also coming in place, we are bidding larger ticket size projects which definitely have good EBITDA margin.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. That is for my
job. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Thomas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. We talked about this Mozambique empanelment and all. Why has there been a huge delay? We've been hearing about the orders coming in for now maybe more than a year now. Why hasn't there been any progress?
Mozambique project has already been executed, and we have received our payments also. I don't think there's an issue there. But the turnaround time itself in Africa, they are very small countries like Gambia, Ghana, Zambia, Tanzania, where the population is also less, and due to less population, the requirements are low, but definitely ticket sizes are more. There is a 2-year turnaround time for all this. So the projects that we have bidded 2 years ago, we just started entering into the international sector 1.5 to 2 years ago. So now the results keep on coming in as far as government sector is concerned. To enter into the private sector there, we need local registrations, which we now have in Mozambique. So with the Mozambique order being executed, we can get faster projects in Mozambique. But as far as other Africa is concerned, the market is quite slow there. And this year, 2025 itself has been slow all over the world. So, but we can see that in Q3 itself, things have started to pick up. So a lot of negotiation meetings have been held up in the past 1 month only, which did not happen in the past 7 to 8 months. So things have started to take place. But due to a general slowness all over the world economy, I think things are getting delayed.
Okay. And when you're looking at an overall order book or orders that you can win, what is the maximum size that it can go up to? Can you give me an estimate?
The order book?
Yeah, the total order book. Like, what could the maximum size be based on your capacity right now?
So for vision, for 2030, we have a target of 1,000 crore order book. And it can definitely go higher than that if airport projects and more larger ticket size, where like we are bidding ticket size of close to 150 crores also. So if we start receiving such good ticket size projects, then it might go up more than that. But 1,000 crore is what we are eyeing at for 2030.
Okay. And when it comes to, like, when it comes to when you're having these discussions and negotiations, what factors are you considering? I mean, are you trying to make sure that you win it on price, or is there a cost per plus basis that you're looking at? What is it?
No, it is just a taxation that needs to be cleared off, because whether the country has a DTA agreement with India or no. So just the taxations are being discussed. There is no cost negotiation as such happening. If in case, because there is a 2-year period of between the bidding and the opening, if in case they allow us to replace our manpower also, in case someone has left or someone needs to be replaced. Other than that, there are no cost reductions happening in the negotiation.
Okay, and what would you, what is the, I mean, in India, what is your win rate when it comes to these tenders, and abroad, what do you feel your win rate would be?
Bid win rate. So right now, because if you see the overall bid period also, we are, we have a success rate right now of 1%, which we are now scaling up to 5 to 10% in this financial year. Whereas in India, it is a 25% strike rate, a bid win rate.
Okay, 25%. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Priya Jain from Green Capital. Please go ahead. Ms. Priya, you are on the line. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Yeah. Hello everyone. So I'm new to the company, and I was going through the available information on exchange and internet. So through as entered new sectors such as aviation consultancy and traffic sensor stuff. So how do you see the sector next evolving over the next 2-3 years? What meaning, what percentage of revenue could non-highway segment contribute?
Yeah, so we are expecting that, even though we are expanding in sectors, highway is going to remain the core of it, because the network that highway has all over the country, no other sector has. So, but what we are looking at from the sectoral expansion is large ticket size and good EBITDA margin projects. So the number of projects may not be very high, but the ticket size and the EBITDA margins will definitely be higher. The union budget itself tells us the budget allocation and the focus being given on infrastructure projects. In the last 2 or 3 budgets itself, we have seen emphasis on railways, metros and airport sector. Airport sector has been given emphasis this union budget, the last union budget itself. So with these advancements happening, companies aligning their sales and business development efforts accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of EBITDA margin you all are eyeing?
We are eyeing on 30 to 35% EBITDA margin in these sectors.
Great. Good to hear. Okay. Yeah. So I have to ask you more questions, like with multiple, you know, implements across PWD and MADC, OBCC.
Yes.
What's the company's internal estimate of the addressable tender value over the next, you may say, like 12 to 18 months?
In the next, so 250 crore of orders are presently being bidded, and we are hopeful that by the end of Q4, 70 to 80 crores total projects would minimum be added with our strike rate. But now that we are expecting some improvements in ticket size also, so this can be higher as well.
Okay, and what is the current, you know, like active consolidated order book?
Unexecuted order book is 200 crores.
Okay, and how much of this is expected to convert into, you know, like a top line, and is going to contribute in top line for?
So this 200 crores is to be executed in 2 years, because I'm not allowed to comment on the revenue figures. So I can only say that 200 crores is the total order book, and to be executed in two and a half to 3 years.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
That's from my
team.
Thank you. And
yeah, thank you.
So
yeah.
Look forward to interact with you again.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The The next follow-up is from the line of Vinod Shah from VX Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi again. Can you
hear me? Yes, yes.
Okay, so what digital tools have the company has deployed, like for supervision of the project and for tracking the quality, and like is it contributing to the higher margin?
Margins have no effect to play on it, but definitely the efficiency will improve. We can take up more number of projects with these implementations. Margins, if digital tools is good for the contractor, but as a consultant, our job is only supervision and designing. So with more time available with us through this implementation, we can take up more number of projects. That is the that can help us in increasing the order book.
Yeah, okay. So are we like doing any like drone based surveys or LiDAR mapping?
Yes.
Or BI?
Yes, we are doing it.
Okay. And like how sensitive is business to the like change in employee cost and employee cost inflation?
There is inflation in employee cost, but our attrition rate in the industry attrition rate is 20%, but our attrition rate is 3-4%. So which itself, till now as such, we haven't faced this issue of manpower in our operations. So, and we have a very good talent acquisition team who's been involved on a day-to-day basis dedicatedly for employee attrition as well as hiring new employees for new projects.
And what's the like current new employees and total employees, and how much of them are like on contract or full time? Can you give some breakdown on that?
So around 100 employees are on contract, but all are on our permanent payroll.
That's all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. I repeat, participants, if you wish to ask your questions, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshal Ghanshyani from Kirin Advisors for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yes. Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.